Blog Talk Radio.
It is time to step into the tippy zone where we explore the other side of midnight, of reality actually, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, with control, and awareness. And that is why we bring you guests from around the world who are dedicated to make life a better and more powerful experience. Today, we have DC Ross from Oregon, or maybe Southern Oregon, a beautiful state. As a matter of fact, I found it to be one of the most beautiful states that I have ever visited. And being that I drove cross-country more than 20 times, I consider myself somewhat knowledgeable on that state of the state. So today, DC Ross is going to be speaking about his passion, his teachings, and the simple way in which he unraveled the answer to the complicated questions that we face in a society today. Welcome to Tippy Talk, DC Ross. I'm really happy to have you here. It's funny how many blocks can stand in the way of something that I perceive as a beautiful connection. But I'm really glad that we finally made it, and you're here today, and it's a beautiful day. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thanks a lot for having me, and it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining in Southern Oregon. I'm just sitting out here in my front yard, absorbing the rays, and hopefully I can say some useful things in the next few minutes.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot of useful things to say, or even if you don't think it's useful, you just don't know who is going to find it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because a lot of times you say something or you write something, and sometimes even when you write it, your intention may be completely different, and somebody reads it and gets something out of it that you don't even know that was there to begin with. And I find that really, really beautiful.
Absolutely. I found that so much of the time, whether it's personal relationships or in business, it doesn't matter what you say. It's just how you say it. And people will hear it however they want in the way that's best for them at the moment. And that could range, you know, all different types of emotions and realizations. And I've had a lot of teachers in my life, and I don't know why or what the reason, or if it's just coincidence, but one of the greatest of these teachers was right after my dad died, when I started to become a troublemaker in my early teens. He helped really accelerate my growth. And he was one of the most amazing people I ever met. He just passed away last year, and he's given me so many teachings, and I want to share a lot of his information. One of the key things that he told me, that just to go along with what you were saying, when I was at his daughter's wedding, he gave the most beautiful, passionate speech. And I went up to him afterwards. I said, you know, Mr. Cole, how did you do that? How long did it take you to script that? He said, oh, you know, buddy, I didn't script it. He said, you just talk from the heart. You just speak from the heart, and it'll come out the way it's supposed to. He didn't write anything down. He didn't think about or plan what he was going to say. And so that's what I want to bring. That's the kind of energy I want to bring to this conversation with you and with everybody who's listening. I just set the intention before this phone call began that, you know, just help me to say some stuff that's going to help some people out. You'll just help me to say the right things at the right time and in the right energy. And I trust fully that that'll happen, regardless of the outcome. That's just what my intention is. So, yeah, I think that's what's going to play out, hopefully.
Yeah, so you actually touched on a few things that I have to reply to. So you said one of the things, usually speeches or any kind of interactions that come around without actually sitting and planning, really do sing out beautifully. They really do unfold in a really beautiful way. But on the other hand, at the same time, you said that you did set intentions. And when you set intentions, it really is planning. So when you say that you don't plan the speech, I don't want people to misunderstand that as something like you do things randomly. You don't. You think about it. You set the intention to have a specific message for a specific person, but you don't necessarily have to memorize every word of every line because that comes from your heart. So planning in itself is important, but it depends what kind of planning. That's really what you're saying about that. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're called, if you feel like you need to plan, great. You know, plan. There's so many times when I planned things and it felt so right and it gave me clarity and it helped me with the sense of purpose and direction and like giving me the confidence to move forward. And I moved forward, I executed the plan, and everything, I could tell that the plan helped me, but nothing went according to the plan. You know, it's like that old saying, you know, plan the work and work the plan. You know, planning is just one of those things that can just be something that gets you going in that direction. And whether or not the plan unfolds the way you thought it was going to is totally, you know, up in the air. But I think having the courage to step away from even the most carefully laid plans can help you to sort of go back to the drawing board and try to figure out a new strategy. So it's definitely a combination of both. I mean, we have hearts and we have brains. Why not try to use them in the best harmony that we can?
Right. So the bottom line is make a plan, but be flexible enough to go with the flow. And this conversation that we're having right now is such a pure example of that, because nothing went according to plan. And at the end of the day, we still were able to plan and to make it happen the right way at the right time. Obviously, sometimes you think the right time is 3 o'clock on this day and this time, and that's not the right time. So it's going to happen at 4 o'clock on another day and another time. But it's still really a perfect unfolding of the plan that you think you know how it has to unfold, but that's what you don't really know.
Yeah, you never really know. That's a good point. That trust there, whether it's going to unfold the way you want it to or not, trust that it is unfolding the way that is best for everybody. And that's a really hard thing to accept. I mean, we have so many preferences. Everybody, you know, they want to be physically in good health. They want to be comfortable. They want to have love in their lives. You know, they want to be productive and working toward meaning and purpose and direction in their lives. And they want to have financial freedom. You know, these are all things that that we really want and that we really need. You know, upgrading that to a preference instead of a need, I think allows it to come more smoothly. So, you know, the most carefully laid plans of mice and men, as they say, you don't know. You just don't know what the purpose of everything is. And the only thing you can really do is set the intention that it's going to work out the way you want it to. Try to get there with whatever mental and emotional faculties that you have, and then just do the thing that comes your way. Do the thing that's right in front of you. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy around the law of attraction, and you know, there's some ups and downs with it, but generally speaking, they say that you can achieve whatever you set your mind to. It just might not come in the form that you expected it. So just be ready to totally take your plan and throw it out the window and start a whole new one. In fact, the more often you can do that, I think the sharper your vision will become and the faster things will manifest in your life.
Exactly. You're talking about priorities in life. So the priorities that are basically universal is, number one, your health, because without that, nothing else really matters. The number two is love, your social environment, partner, family, children. And then number three is the money and the physical well-being and abundance. So abundance in all of them, but you do have to have your priorities. If you don't have the car you want to have, that you think you should have that specific car and that makes you miserable and it doesn't let you move forward in anything else, then you know there's some kind of a glitch in your plan. Something's got to be fixed.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But since we're going to talk about you, I do want to go back to Mr. Troublemaker. And the reason I do is because I find that a lot of teenagers, and I'm assuming that it's probably as a teenager, are troublemakers, and those are the kids that happen to be very sensitive, very in tune, and also the kids that are really smart and are going to do things that are non-traditional that most people really don't want them to do. Was it when you were a teenager?
Yeah, you know, I always knew I that there was something greater, whether it was for me or just in general, there was something greater than just going to school and filling out basically paperwork and then spitting it back out at test time. I was pretty good at that. I wasn't the best, but, you know, I was an A student, B-plus student all through school, and still it wasn't something that fulfilled me, and it didn't appear that it really fulfilled anybody else. So I always knew that there was something else out there. And luckily for me, that kind of got thrown in my face. That blew up in my face. And the universe, God or whatever you want to say, just kind of pushed me down that path. And, you know, I think certain people are called at certain times in their life to go down that non-traditional route. It happened to occur very early, in a very early age for me. I lost my father when I was 13, and looking back on it, it was cancer. He was my best friend. I could tell him anything. He was a role model for me in all kinds of ways. He taught me love. He was one of the people who taught me love. He was a real hard ass, you know, he at the end of the day, he was soft, and he had a lot of love in his heart. But then he perished, and I think that's really what started my journey. That's really what catalyzed my journey. And when I look back, you know, I feel nothing but gratitude that in a way, in a cosmic kind of ordained, you know, higher purpose of the evolution of the whole planet, he sort of gave his life for me. You know, he gave his life so that I would go through this period of tribulation in my life where I was a troublemaker. I didn't want to listen to anything anybody said. I was self-absorbed. I was a narcissist. I treated people with disrespect. And, you know, those are all horrible things. They're all bad, bad. You don't want to, you know, be that to other people. You want to be loved to them. But in a weird way, they were all good things because they allowed me to dissociate with the current structure, the current model that everybody was trying to get me to subscribe to, which is make sure you get into a good school. Make sure you get good grades, get a good degree, then go work a job. And then one day you'll wake up with a wife and kids, you'll be retired, you'll be happy, and then you can start living your life. And so it really, that I think we're at the point now in the world where most people are starting to realize that's not the way, that is not the calling for human beings. That's like a very limited way to live life. And if anybody's listening right now that's currently stuck in that model, you know, I'd like to later on talk about some ways that we can try to move forward, move past that, and get into a more abundant mindset of financial independence and things like that, because I think it is our birthright. And I think that anything that we don't have from a love, a finances, a friendship, or a health perspective is because we have either placed blocks on it ourselves or have allowed others/society to put blocks on that. And it's everything from, like, you know, the artificial ingredients and food that affects your health to just the general spiritual consciousness of humanity in this day and age. And it's getting better. I mean, we're way, way more advanced than we are, like, in the dark ages, you know, and we are waking up and realizing that everybody should be treated equally. It doesn't matter if you're gay, if you're black, if you're short, if you're fat. None of that matters anymore. Everybody's a human being now. And slowly, people are waking up to that realization. And so I guess, not to digress, I went through that troublemaking phase in my life so that I could detach from all of the pre-programming that had been given to me, that had been forced upon me in school, and that's forced upon everybody in school and in mainstream society. So in a way, it was a blessing, and I wreaked a lot of havoc, and I've since forgiven myself for those tendencies. But you know, looking at it from a cosmic perspective, it really helped me to get in line and get in tune with what the real truth of this world is. And you know, I'm not going to say I know that truth, but I know it a lot better than I did before. And that was because the first spiritual teacher I met, I've already mentioned him, Mr. Cole, he was my counselor after my father passed away to help me kind of deal with a lot of that grief. Amazing man. You know, I went through a lot of counselors. He was the first one that didn't force anything on me. He was the first one that was just accepting of me and just wanted to help me. And I think to anybody listening, if you're trying to figure out if something is right for you, or if someone's telling you the truth, or if somebody's honest with you, or the things that they're saying are good for you, listen for the calm, listen for the peace. A lot of people have a lot of opinions, but the person who's not trying to force them on you, and the person who accepts you as you are, and the person who wants to help you wherever you're at in life, no matter what you've done or who you are or where you are, that's the person. I think the voice of peace is the person that's ultimately going to accelerate your growth in every dimension, every aspect of your life.
Well, yeah, and someone is listening. I don't know if they're stuck in that model, but they are listening, so I'm going to bring them in and see if they do have any question. I think this will be a great time to kind of bring that up. I have a caller from area code 718, and you're on. Hello?
Hello. I just tuned into what was being said, and I'm kind of curious about some basic sociology. Have you ever heard of the primordial horde?
No, I haven't. Tell me about that.
What is it?
Well, we had a Professor Joe Sanchez at City College who talked about sociology, of course. And one of the things he talked about was, if you have everyone is free without a society, without rules, without regulations, without a police department, the firstborn or the oldest male will hoard everything. They will hoard the children. The daughters will become subjective to his whims, and he will whip up on the children, and he will hoard everything. And that's kind of why all of this conditioning has come about. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. I actually have a really, I'll try not to talk too long, but I have a great opinion on that. I think we're all, whether it's a plan or it's been socially conditioned or it's just a symptom of the general consciousness of the planet, we are all in a situation where there is so much to do and there's not enough energy to go around. There's not enough love to go around, and I think that behavior is very much a result of that, and it's you know, it goes back to, you know, if you subscribe to evolution, it goes all the way back to the beginning of time when the first single-celled organism developed a faculty to be able to dismantle the molecules of another organism for energy. I mean, look at nature. Hawks eat mice. I mean, you know, we eat plants or we eat animals. I mean, everything is based on this. There's a scarcity mindset on this planet. And I don't mean just with people. I just mean the general consciousness is that there's not enough energy to go around.
One second. I hear the radio on. You need to shut off the radio because it's an echo that we're hearing talking here. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's an echo. Somebody's listening to the radio at the same time. What is your name? Okay. Maybe he's on mute now. But go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I think that there's just a scarcity consciousness, and it's up to us, each one of us, to try to see past that and to try to realize that all of the energy, there's an unlimited amount of energy and resources. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from outside of the world and is brought here by some mysterious force, because if you look around at everybody, like families, a lot of times the oldest child will act out because when the other children come in, and as the family grows and they get more responsibilities and more things have to happen, they realize that if they're going to be able to get the love, the nurturing, the energy, the sustenance from this planet that they need as an organism, they're going to have to take from somewhere else. I mean, even somebody who makes money and it becomes rich, like it or not, they're taking that money from someone else. So I'm not trying to advocate a scarcity mindset. I'm saying there is a scarcity mindset, and it's up to us to look past that and try to find the abundance mindset, because there is a way that you can make money that helps lift other people up and helps bring other people. And there is a way that you can get love and attention and respect without having to put someone down or without having to take from someone. And we do it in our relationships all the time. It's called a control drama. When you're in a relationship with another person, you try to get them to act in a way that's going to benefit you, even though you have no idea if that's right for them. And a lot of people engage in that control drama, and their energy bodies become entangled, and they become what's called codependent. So it happens in relationships with our spouses, our loved ones, our children, everybody. We're always trying to judge and trying to get people to act in a way that's going to ultimately give us that energy for which there's a natural inherent scarcity on this planet. So try not to.
But the truth is that there isn't.
There
isn't a scarcity. I mean, that's maybe a scarcity mentality, but
yeah.
Is it really a scarcity?
Right.
Going on?
Exactly. Yeah, there isn't really a scarcity.
Is there an airplane passing by you?
Yeah, there's an airplane up there. Oh, by the way,
I love
airplanes. For some reason, every time an airplane goes by, it makes me become really present. It's like when I hear the airplane, it's like everything else stops. They're like kind of my little angels. I don't know what it is. Whenever I hear an airplane, it's just like this buzzing. It kind of just dominates the airwaves, and I just sit with that, and I'm like, oh, cool. It's always an opportunity for me to be present.
That's a great perspective. I like that. I like, you can definitely look at that. So are you the oldest child?
Yeah. I have a sister who's 6 years younger than me. But, yeah, I'm the oldest child. I don't remember a whole lot of how that played out, but I know there was a lot of, like, sibling rivalry and, you know, we would tease each other and things like that. And, you know, I think these are just symptoms of the scarcity mindset that that mindset manifests itself in our world all over the place, and especially in our families. There was a time when human beings lived in tribes, and when a baby was born, it was a gift. It was a miracle. It was an amazing thing, just awesome. And, you know, it's still that today, but there's also this societal notion, oh, no, a baby, you know, that's a huge deal. You know, how are you going to have the resources to take care of that? You know, and there's a lot of controversy around the topic of abortion and things like that. I'm not saying where I fit in either way on that debate, but I am saying that we've come to a point where we've isolated ourselves, or maybe there's a grand master plan by an elite few people who are trying to take control of the world. I think that might be happening. But I also think there's, people who are trying to guide the world into spiritual enlightenment, too. So maybe there's always that battle of good and evil. But at the end of the day, you know, we're isolated as family units now, which makes it even more difficult. Now everybody's got to spend all of their time just surviving, and there's just not enough energy going around. You know, we don't have the tribe model that we grew up on, you know, that existed even just a few hundred years ago. So it makes it really difficult to try to get the energy that you want. And I think we're programmed in that way, that if you want that energy, then you've got to take it from somewhere else. And that's the mindset. I'm not saying that's naturally how things are, but that's definitely the mindset, whether it was put there or whether that's just how it's always been. I don't know. I don't really know. But I guess that's a long-winded answer.
Dusty?
Yeah, that's definitely... Yes. Hello?
Yeah, Dusty, okay. would you say that's the new United States, or, you know, countries like India, the rising nations? Do you think maybe that they're going back to that family unit that was tighter and more conditioned and maybe giving them more structure today? And maybe that's the reason why we're finding less energy, or they're finding more energy? What do you think?
I don't know a whole lot about international politics or government structures, but I do know that in this country, I think there is a lot of centralized authority that is preventing us from living the life of abundance, and there's a lot of things in media that are preventing that, and I think there might be that elsewhere, but, you know, when tragedy happens, I think people do bond together naturally because they realize that is the natural order of things, is that we're all connected and we're all here to help each other out. So I would hope that's the case in India or anywhere else, although I don't know for sure. But yeah, there's definitely a force that is separating us and keeping us isolated, and I think it has a lot to do with fear. I hope that people can learn to not engage with that fear and learn to cooperate as a functioning unit. Like when a natural disaster happens, it's so beautiful to see, you know, all the humans. My mother-in-law said something really profound. She said, whenever tragedy hits a society, and it makes you sad or it makes you fearful, look for the helpers. Always look for the helpers, because they're there. And that's something that really, you know, I think is a beautiful thing. And we're not, none of us here, you hear all the time about people who, oh, I made it on my own. I went out and I got it. It's like, no, you didn't. Who helped you? Who slaughtered the cow for the hamburger you ate? Who wired your house with electricity? You know, who created the internet connection for you to meet all those people? Nobody has made it on their own. Nobody is just an isolated entity. And as the society of the consciousness of our society and of the planet expands, I think we're going to realize that none of us can do this alone or as individual entities, family units, nuclear family units. So I would hope that people overseas or anywhere in the world are starting to realize the power and cooperation, because I think that's the fundamental aspect of what makes human beings so magnificent is their ability to solve problems in groups in ways that help meet the needs of everybody involved.
Yeah, actually, just living through tragedy, which happens to be, I live through many tragedies, the community, the helpers are everywhere. People that you don't even know. If you have a next-door neighbor for 30 years and you've never spoke to them, all of a sudden there's a tragedy, that person can jump and help and do things you never even imagined. I lived through the earthquake in California, which was really devastating. I lived through a war. And I lived in a war zone where every time we were attacked, every time there was a tragedy, people were just rising to the occasion like crazy. So tragedies definitely do bring out the best in people. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron, tragedy and the best, but it's true. It really does. And since we're running out of time, DC, I wanted to kind of wrap it up with, what is it that you're personally passionate about? What is it that you really want to tell the world that you're about?
Yeah, the number one thing that I really want to get across to anybody I talk to, whether directly or indirectly, is that you live in a world where nobody knows you and what's best for you. And if you want answers in this world, you might talk to a scientist. You might talk to a politician. You might talk to a spiritual teacher, or you might talk to an expert or a millionaire or whoever authority you want to talk to. But at the end of the day, your answers are your own answers. And anything that I said here, you know, it made you feel a certain way. It might have made you feel good. It might have made you feel bad. It might have made you feel angry. But that's your answer. That's right there. That's the thing that you need to examine. That's the thing for you that you need to work out, because I could have said everything here and it could have absolutely no bearing for you, no meaning for your life other than how it made you feel. And if I made you feel a certain way that allowed you to reflect on some things, awesome. But if you think that most of the things I said were just kind of, you know, whatever, I didn't really get anything out of that, you know, that's cool too, you know? So just, I think the main thing I would like to tell everybody is to stop taking advice from people over yourself. You know, I mean, even the most brilliant minds on this planet don't necessarily know how things work here. I don't know. I have no idea. And the more that I learn and the more the conversations I have, the more that really solidifies itself. It's like Aristotle said, to truly know is to not know. And when you get to the point where you don't know and you're just going through your day doing the things that you feel called to do in whatever particular order, and you're taking in and you're releasing advice that comes your way, it's just like ebbing and flowing like the ocean, then that's the point where I think things start to change on their own.
Absolutely. And to end this amazing conversation, I'll quote something that DC Ross said, that's you: the goal of all human life is to evolve towards God-likeness, goal that I think everybody can actually tap into and everybody can understand, whether they believe in God or not. And I do believe in God, and I don't get offended by it. But even if you don't, if that is your goal, to become God-like, then I don't see how anybody can perceive that as anything but the right direction where you. And so if somebody wants to tap into what you do, where do they go?
Oh, well, I have a blog at alignmentality.com, and I've been posting some videos lately, video blog entries. It's align, A-L-I-G-N, hyphen mentality, M-E-N-T-A-L-I-T-Y, alignmentality.com. That's a great place to go. But I'm working on collaborating with a really, like, just extremely intelligent person who has come up with a very straightforward analysis and system on how you can control your subconscious mind to start seeing a different reality. And even the newest breakthrough in neuroscience is saying that our subconscious mind dictate how we experience reality and what we experience. And it's really phenomenal research that's coming out in quantum physics and neuroscience, and he breaks it down in a really simple way. And so in the next couple few weeks, I will be releasing a free 18-part video course, a video presentation with this gentleman speaking. And I think it would be a great way for people to start understanding why they don't have the things they have and an intelligent looking at it intelligently so that they can start getting those things. So if you want to have access to that course, you can go to theenlightenedsavage.com, and there's a link at the bottom. It's a survey. I would ask that you take the survey. And there's only one question that's mandatory, but at the end of the survey, it's a real short survey. At the end, you have an opportunity to put in your email address. If you put in your email address, then we can email you when the course is ready, and you can get free access to that. So that'll be
that's
a really
wonderful.
Helpful thing for
that's
people.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going
yeah, again,
to
that's
put the
theenlightenedsavage.com.
Yeah, I'm going to put that link right here below. As you listen to this, if you go online and you listen, you will see right below where the introduction is. We will have a link to both of those websites that you just mentioned. And that way, in case you figure out what it is, you can either listen to the show again to get it, or you can come right below. We will have a link for it, which sounds amazing, because really that's what so many people are searching for, is a way to really communicate with your subconscious, because from what we understand, that's what actually controls your life. So if I can tell my subconscious, hey, get me $1 million, and my subconscious runs out and does it for me, I think I can live with that. I think so. Can you live with that?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty
yeah.
good.
Exactly. And so, yeah, we're kind of at the end of our time together here on TikTok. It's been wonderful chatting with you, DC Rush, today. And thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to TikTok. We give you a magic journey, and let your talent be your potion. My name is Lisa Overtime. You have been listening to DC Rush. Thank you for listening. Because this music is more than just a sound. It's actually designed what they call as a paraliminal. It's designed to go straight to your subconscious and to awaken you into the manifestation mode, to awaken you into living life in accordance with your soul, and to following your dreams, and not to be afraid and not to be concerned about whether you might fail. This has to be music that is a lot deeper than just plain music. But in the studio right now, it's not coming through very clearly. I'm hoping it's coming through clearer to you. We will work on. Thank you for listening, and thank you for participating. This has been another episode of Sippy Talk. And until then, we bid you a magical journey.
Girl, you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is on autopilot. Yeah. Girl, you don't need a man, you got a phone in your hand.